Support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 8th day of February 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, I'll tell you how to get your tickets for the all-day agricultural outlook. We'll discuss the weather forecast with the guys up at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Take a look at the cash grain market with the folks out at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and naturally discuss the commodity markets too. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal will be here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. March contract in the corn pit at 362 and a quarter, down 3.5 cents. The May at 367, 3.75 lower. July corn down 3.75 at 372 and a quarter, and December at 385.5, 3.75 lower. March beans down a nickel at $8.62.5. The May at 866.5, 4.75 lower. And July soybeans, 872.5, down 5.25. November beans, $8.77 and a quarter. They finished 6 cents lower. Bean meal off 50 cents at $2.64.50. The bean oil at $30.75, down 48 cents. Soft red winter wheat now, the March contract at $4.58.5, down 8.25 as it finished up the day. July at $4.68 and a quarter, down 7.5 for the harvest month. The hard red July winter wheat at $4.65 and a quarter, down 7.75. Live cattle futures currently trading locked, the limit lower, down $3 at $133. Nickel in the February. The April also down the $3 limit at $131.40. Feeder cattle are down the limit, $4.50 lower at $149.32.5. April currently trading at $148.97.5. Not really trading, locked the limit lower there as well, down $4.50. Lean hogs February contract up 22.5 cents at $65.02.5. And the April down 60 cents today at $69.67.5 at this hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. In just a few minutes, I'll post, not long after we get done with the Closing Market Report, the link for you to purchase the all-day Ag Outlook tickets online at willag.org. The all-day is March the 8th. That's, of course, a Tuesday.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Just to be clear, the all-day Ag Outlook is Tuesday, the 8th day of March. I have not posted that link yet, but will very shortly this afternoon. So you can pick up your tickets. They're just $30, and you can see all the folks that will be there at the all-day Ag Outlook. This has been a premier event for WILL Agriculture for more than a quarter of a century now. A great show on tap again this year. Here's what some of the rest of the marketplace is looking like at this hour in Chicago. Ethanol futures at $1.42.5 are down a penny and a tenth. Crude oil at $29.87 a barrel, $1.02 lower. And natural gas, or rather $1.02 lower. And then natural gas is 8.7 cents lower, or rather higher, at $2.15 and a tenth. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 15,785. It's down 346 points. The U.S. dollar at 96.585 is down 0.469. And the gold futures today at $1,190, $98, that is, up $40.25. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area tonight. Snow showers between 1 and 4 a.m., cloudy otherwise, low of 18 degrees. Wind chills at 3 to 11 above. It'll be blustery out there on a west-northwest wind, cold at 17 to 20 miles an hour, gusting to 30, chance of precipitation overnight 60%, new snow accumulation of less than a half an inch overnight. And on Tuesday, we'll have a possible chance of snow showers and go to 22 degrees. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, takes a look at the marketplace with us. Good afternoon, Pete. Thanks for filling in for Kurt Kimmel, who's out of the office today.
Well, it's great to be here, and a good afternoon to you.
I'm looking forward to having you over at the All Day Ag Outlook. This is, we've been doing this for a long time now, so this event is a big event. On Tuesday, the 8th day of March, I've not quite posted yet into the website the link to start buying these tickets, but you'll be able to do that not long after we get off the air this afternoon, certainly throughout the evening and for the next several days. But we've only got, 4 weeks or so before we get to that event, and so I'm kind of looking forward to having you there and Kurt and all the rest of the crew that's on the air with us. Should be a great day, don't you think?
It's always a great day there, lots of people to see and visit and talk about what possibilities are for the markets and what you can do to protect yourself.
Yeah, protecting yourself and the possibilities are what farmers really want to know. They don't like it when the markets are lower, and today was another one of those days as we wait tomorrow's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Were there any primary drivers? I made note that both the hard and soft red winter wheat were off 8 cents or thereabouts.
I just think that the world wheat supply is plentiful, and that was the main reason. And I think we've had some moistures in some of our wheat areas in the U.S. Also recently that will supposedly help our wheat here, even though the rest of the world has more than we do.
Right. And then for the soybeans, we're awaiting that crop to be harvested. There are a few beans that are coming in. They harvest over a long season in South America. The bulk of it yet to come in. Still a lot of pressure in the marketplace to come. A big crop here in the U.S. and a big crop in South America both.
Yeah, big crop there, and if we have low prices, what will the acreage be here next year for beans? So that's in the back of people's minds also, is here a good crop, South America then, and also then more possible acres here on the beans.
What are we thinking about possible acres? I've heard a number of things. So starting with the winter wheat seedings report back in January, we were short about 2.8 million acres from what had been sown the previous year. Looks like the cotton acres, people are beginning to talk about going into soybeans or something else. I don't know. What are you hearing?
We're hearing in general in the Midwest that not a whole lot of change, but in areas where it's not just corn and bean area, there could be all kinds of other things out there. And in poorer areas, possibly just some acres that won't be seeded.
What are your thought processes at this point as to producers are considering either old or new crop?
We would be looking at protecting the price on new crop, and any time we have a bounce on old crop, we would be continuing to get rid of some.
Where do you want to protect on new crop then? What kind of marks have you got in place?
Well, if you look at the last couple of weeks, we had Dease corn clear up into the mid-390s. We would be looking at somewhere 390 to 420 to start. And in beans, we got up close to the $9 mark a couple of times recently. So we'd be looking for, up above 890 up to the 940 areas to start.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with me this afternoon.
Have a great one.
You too. Pete Manhart, of course, is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here in the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, USDA will release its latest World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report, and you'll be able to find those numbers as soon as I can get to them, and it won't take very long, just a few seconds usually, or at least within a couple of minutes. Posted right there to WILLAG.org, WILLAG.org. I'll post my Twitter account directly into the web page. If you follow folks on Twitter and happen to have your own account, you can follow me. It's at Commodity Week. That's easy enough to remember. So the at sign, at Commodity Week. Otherwise, all of those numbers right there at WILLAG.org, WILLAG.org. The USDA releases the updated numbers once a month for the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report at 11 o'clock Central Time. In today's agricultural news, President Obama will roll out his 2017 budget proposal this week, and it will include an increase in federal spending for agricultural research and development. The budget proposal doubles research spending from about $350 million to $700 million, as required under the 2008 Farm Bill and reauthorized in the 2014 Farm Bill. Tom Vilsack, the Secretary of Agriculture, says he believes Congress will support fully funding USDA's Agriculture and Food Research Initiative, adding he's hopeful that people will see the benefits of innovation in agriculture. Obama's budget proposal also includes a $10 per barrel tax on crude oil that meets heavy Republican opposition. The new tax would fund infrastructure improvements, according to the White House. However, Republican leaders in the House and Senate call the budget proposal dead on arrival. Both the Senate and the House budget committees have decided they will not hold hearings on the final budget under Obama's tenure as president. Well, the 12 member nations included in the Trans-Pacific Partnership now must roll up their sleeves and work on gaining approval of the massive trade deal. The deal signed last week following 5 years of negotiations must be approved by the governments of each country involved in the agreement. The Miami Herald reports approval may be the toughest hurdle yet for the deal that represents 40% of the global economy. The U.S. Congress has vowed to look at every detail of the 5,000-some-page agreement, and many key lawmakers are currently opposed to the deal. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky has yet to back the trade agreement, and a vote appears unlikely until after the November elections. Trade negotiators warn delaying the deal would be costly to the United States regarding economics and world leadership. Well, nearly 3 in 4 residents of the Chesapeake Bay watershed say state and local government authority over water resources should trump federal authority. A poll released by the American Farm Bureau on Friday, conducted by a third party, found only 28% of residents in the Bay Area trust the federal government on water regulations. And Chinese officials have issued a warning to seed dealers and farmers not to use unapproved genetically engineered seeds following a Greenpeace report that found widespread GM contamination in corn. China permits the import of GMO crops for animal feed, but does not allow the cultivation of genetically modified crops. Well, let's come back home now, but for something a little different, the 2016 World Ag Expo opens Tuesday in the Central California community of Tulare. More than 1,500 exhibitors will showcase equipment and services for farmers and ranchers. Jerry Sineft, CEO of the International AgriCenter, says the expo has grown in popularity not only for visitors but also for vendors. Currently, he says there's a very long vendor waiting list. One change at the expo this year is beefed up security.
We're just following, you know, the trend that other large venues across the country are doing, and then we'll be checking bags at the gate, just being a little more vigilant. But if you're coming in with it with a backpack or a purse or a briefcase, just be aware. We're just going to be checking, making sure that we're as safe as we possibly can be. But, you know, we're just going to have additional law enforcement on the grounds. Could be a few dogs on the grounds, canine units from police department, and we have no issues whatsoever that we're aware of. But we're just trying to be a little safe. We're just following the trend of other large venues around the country.
That's Jerry Sineff, CEO of the International AgriCenter in Tulare. The World Ag Expo opens tomorrow for its 3-day run. And finally today, we'll move from California to Texas, where 14-year-old Jagger Horn of Abilene, Texas, had this year's grand champion steer at the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo. He named his prized steer Big Boy, and it earned him a cool $210,000 at the junior sale of champions.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He says agriculture has been a lifelong passion. Jagger says he plans on using that money to go to college. So far, he's leaning towards Oklahoma State. As for Big Boy, well, he'll be heading to the Fort Worth Zoo. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There, if not now, very shortly, you should be able to register for this year's All-Day Ag Outlook. The cost is just $30 at the Beef House on Tuesday, March the 8th. Should be a fantastic day. Go check out all the details online at WILLAG.org. And don't wait. Get your registration in right now. Registration available online at WILLAG.org. Now, up next, President Obama will call for a $10 a barrel oil tax to fund transportation projects this week in his budget proposal. However, Republican leaders and some in agriculture are already rejecting the idea. The $10 tax to be phased in over 5 years would generate some $65 billion a year. When fully phased in, that funding would go to new rail corridors, highway projects, and self-driving car technologies, among other things. American Farm Bureau Federation Energy Advisor Andrew Walmsley says AFBF is not keen on raising energy taxes.
We don't see this as very much of a viable option. I think it's dead on arrival as far as Congress is concerned. But, you know, it's also a concern from, you know, unnecessarily raising energy costs for the average American isn't necessarily very helpful, and it particularly harms agriculture when you look at the energy-intensive nature of our business.
Walmsley acknowledges the need for new highways and rail to get goods to markets, but he adds,
I think a lot of the sentiment of our members is we have a real spending issue coming out of D.C. with the debt where it's at, and not necessarily revenue. And so I think we would like to look at all options on how to address the needs for infrastructure and the role of government rather than just blanket putting on an increased cost on energy inputs.
Well, the idea of an oil tax may also be detrimental to the sales of renewable fuels like ethanol.
I mean, there's a lot of different complicated factors that go into the price of gasoline and obviously the price of renewable fuels, but we tend to see in agriculture whenever energy prices are increased or we have our higher energy prices, typically it's a negative impact to agriculture across the board.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says the Obama oil tax is little more than an election year distraction and debt on arrival in Congress. Senate Finance Chair Orrin Hatch calls it, in an email to the Washington Post, a backdoor gas tax. The oil tax would add some 24 cents to the price of a gallon of gasoline. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report, and you can buy those tickets now online. Took some time right there in the middle of that to post that up to the website. So if you go online, you can find a way to purchase your tickets for the all-day agricultural outlook. And you can also make a phone call, too, if you'd prefer to do that. It's really pretty quick and simple and easy. You can do it online, or you can call 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Tickets for the all-day ag outlook. That's Tuesday, the 8th day of March, are just $30. Get them online right now. And we've got a great lineup for you. Eric Snodgrass will kick off our morning. It starts at 8:30, the Central Time. He's from Agrible. You hear him on Friday afternoons during the Closing Market Report to take up the weather forecast. And then we'll jump straight into the marketplace with the Cash Grain Panel. Speaking of which, Amy Sage is here this afternoon to talk about cash grain with us. She's from the Andersons. And we'll have Greg Johnson actually with us over at the Beef House. Amy, I'm glad to have you on this afternoon. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're okay. So are you busy at all there this week, do you think?
Well, with inbound grain, we are. We've got some corn moving to the elevator. But as far as people pricing, not so much unless we get an uptick here. We just haven't seen that much selling on down days since we've been pretty range-bound. Not a whole lot of activity unless we're up.
Much in the way of outbound grain at this point?
Well, actually, yes. We have been having trains come in. Obviously, we've had our situation with our bend collapse there, so we've been moving some grain out and having good luck with getting trains to show up and everything. So we have been shipping out corn and beans.
So you're getting everything cleaned up. I haven't talked about that on the air. You might have.
Sure, no problem. We're working through it. So it's so far we've been able to take grain every day since then. So it's worked out pretty well.
That's good. Glad that it that collapsed overnight. That's a big bend to have collapse, but you're all good and things. I trust will be in order by the time we get to the harvest season. So we'll be fine there. So what are we thinking about it in this marketplace as far as your concern going forward? Maybe over the next month or so. Is there still room to move this market higher?
Over the next month, I think it might be a little bit tough, especially with a lot of corn moves to the market during the winter months, as we all know, and we are seeing a little bit of selling on up days, like we talked about, generating some cash flow and for tax purposes and things along those lines. So it's going to be hard without anything really to drive us higher, I'm afraid, to get a huge bounce either in futures or in the cash basis side of it as well. Really, what we're watching right now is outside markets kind of beat us up, along with just trading South American weather and depending on the day, what that looks like for soybeans. So with the Dow being down today and crude being down, that's not helping anything. So I think we're going to have to get to some spring weather to help drive us higher. And at that point, you know, I think that there's a definite possibility that we can see some improvements, but probably going to be a little bit tough over the next 30 days.
Have you been surprised that the weaker dollar hasn't inspired a little bit of a rally yet in the marketplace?
A little bit, yeah. Hopefully that'll help us out here maybe going into tomorrow's session after a down day today.
Anything else in the marketplace we ought to take up? Let's see. As we move through this WASD report tomorrow, are there concerns at all that things will change very much?
A little bit, looking at some lower demand numbers potentially, but February is usually just not that big of a game changer for us, so I guess I don't have too many concerns about that driving us significantly lower or really impacting us too much to the upside. But going into it short here, I guess if there would be a surprise, it would hopefully help us to the upside.
What do your bids look like for the day?
Sure, we're 367 for cash corn. That's five over the March. We've got 360 for fall across the scale. Cash soybeans today, 855. That's seven under the March. We've got our new crop fall beans, 852 across the scale. Cash wheat at 448 and new crop July at 443.
I'm guessing that farmers aren't really impressed with your new crop bids at this point, are they?
No, sir. We have not been buying very much new crop at all. And I guess to be quite honest, I don't know that it's the time to be super aggressive with that at this point. So.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Todd.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons. She joins us here on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. In about 3 or 4 minutes, we'll come back. We'll talk about the weather forecast. That with the guys at Risk Pulse. They're in Chicago, Illinois. Mark Russo should join us. I think, in fact, if there's one thing you want to stick around for always on our shows, it's the very end of the program, because those weather meteorologists are some of the best in the business, and they take us through what's not only happening here in the United States and in the growing regions for corn and soybeans in the Midwest, but all the rest of the growing regions across the planet. Of course, we'll talk about South America and maybe touch a little bit on the wheat crop, winter wheat crop in Ukraine, Russia, and some of the regions of India. The last thing I saw looked like maybe they might be having some more difficulties than we had expected to begin with, so we'll do that in just a couple of minutes. A reminder to go visit our website at willag.org, willag.org, where right now you can pick up your tickets online. You can do this online really quickly and easily to purchase your tickets for the all-day agricultural outlook. It's up and ready and running. If you want to make a phone call, the tickets are $30, 800-898-1065, or just buy them online. Again, willag.org. Or 800-898-1065. Back in 2 minutes.
Support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It's National Molasses Bar Day. Up until the 1880s, molasses was the most popular sweetener in the U.S. because it was much cheaper than refined sugar. But by 1919, U.S. per capita consumption of white sugar was twice what it was in 1880, with most Americans completely switching from molasses to granulated white and brown sugar. By the way, in January of 1919, a huge vat of molasses at the Purity Distilling Company in Boston exploded. What came to be known as the Great Molasses Flood killed 21 people and spilled 2 million gallons of molasses into the streets. On this day in agricultural history in 1802, Simpson Grafton of Massachusetts patented what he called an 8-day improved timepiece, better known as the banjo clock, a small inexpensive clock which could be purchased by those without means in the New World. In 1878, Ellis Fries died, a Swedish botanist. He developed the first system used to classify fungi. In 1886, Wilhelm Koppers was born. This cultural anthropologist developed theories on the origins of society based on studies of hunter-gatherer tribes. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. Get your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook right now. You can order them online through our online portal at willag.org. It's willag.org. Roll down past the audio, and it's the first little event there underneath the Will Ag notes. You can also buy those tickets at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Now let's take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Mark, thanks for being with us. I suppose the first thing we really want to talk about this afternoon is the weather forecast here in our part of the world, because the first is it of two Arctic blasts will be coming through very shortly.
I guess I was about to say unfortunately, but some do enjoy Arctic air, and and gosh, we've had such little of it here this season, but I guess because of that, we're just not used to it, so even some moderate cold here feels pretty chilly to us. And actually, this two shots of Arctic air coming in, one's in kind of in the process of coming through right now across the Midwest. That's going to be followed by a second shot coming up over the upcoming weekend. And that is going to drop temperatures to unseasonably cold levels. Generally speaking, here across the Midwest for this week, our temperatures will be approximately 6 to 12 degrees below normal. And here in Illinois, you can expect temperatures here coming up later on this week. The coldest morning here on Wednesday, or during the day, highs in the teens, minimum temperatures in the single digits, and then teens down south. And then as we go into the upcoming weekend, that looks to be the coldest of this, of at least the second shot of Arctic air, and overall the coldest of the next 8 days. And again, there'll be sub-zero temperatures, you know, during the overnight and in early morning hours, all the way, it looks like, as far south as central Illinois. That is going to be followed by a moderation in temperatures. So again, it doesn't look long-lived, and rather to see temperatures returning actually to warmer than normal levels by the middle of next week.
And then if you could, staying with the cold side of things, move through the northern hemisphere into Eastern Europe, Ukraine, Russia, maybe parts of India. Do we have concerns? I'm sure this would not be the case for India, but for Ukraine and Russia, about how well that crop is hardened, and or about snow cover and really cold temperatures there.
Yeah, well, they got hit by extreme cold back in December and into portions of January, and there was a debate how cold temperatures got in relation to snow covered. The situation right now, they've actually warmed up. Temperatures have returned to warmer than normal levels, and actually they're going to stay warmer than normal over the next couple of weeks. As a result, that is going to reduce snow cover, and so that's something to watch if we see another round of extreme cold moving in either later on this month or into the early part of March. as it looks right now for the next few weeks, does not appear that they're going to have any kind of extreme cold. So as of right now, it's at least no issues here from a forecast standpoint.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo, as Brisk Pulse joins us on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.